once, when at the age of 21, 22 years of age, are you responsible for, in the infantry, 34 men and women?
No way.
And you're responsible for their lives and their well-being. That is incredible. We put men and women time and time again in harm's way in Afghanistan, and they were commanded by high-quality individuals that they trusted in their professionalism and integrity and loyalty. That's when you're putting your life into someone else's hands, that says something about that individual.
As a reserve officer, you also commanded the Toronto Scottish Regiment, and you served with Canadian, British, and American Special Forces. With your military deployments in Oman, Bosnia, Kosovo, and Afghanistan, what is the best advice that you can provide to the youth interested in perhaps pursuing a career in the military?
Well, in many ways it reflects those things that you develop at RMC or through our civilian university programs. Quite frankly, what I look for in my young officers is obviously physical fitness, because you have to be physically fit to lead men and women. All right. You may have the best 500-pound brain. You've gone through all the various schools, but if you can't carry the 90-pound rucksack to 25 miles to the objective, you're no use to me. All right. So physical fitness becomes an integral part of what you are as an officer. Second thing is that, in my view, is obviously and essentially on par, is professionalism, studying the profession. And that means not only if you're a naval officer or an Air Force officer, studying those aspects of those career streams, everything from amphibious warfare to how to use an aircraft carrier strike element, or for that matter, how to call in tactical aircraft, all these issues, it's a study of the profession in the most Catholic way, studying economics, sociology, history. You study mathematics for all intents and purposes, demographics, because all these things provide an officer a Catholic view of the world. And if you do not understand, a bit of the climatology that we're experiencing now with rising ocean rates and the implications that may have to low-lying areas, like in Bangladesh and some parts of India, when areas are flooded out, you're going to see population movement. When population movement happens, you're going to see frictions. When those frictions happen, you're going to have clashes, which can consist of not only small wars, but almost migration into areas which will either exacerbate a situation or continue a friction. So, by doing so, a young man or woman then gets a real impression of the implications of what could happen and where they may be. So if Canada is called upon a peacekeeping mission to Bangladesh, why? Well, rising waters. Okay, the farmers have been flooded out. There's been a movement of the Bangladeshis into another area, and it causes friction. And hence, you are going to be allocated a tasking as a peacekeeper in that area. So what you're thinking of is constantly where we be deployed next? Where can Canada be deployed next? Where I may be going, and how can I best prepare myself for that? The other thing is that as a young officer, I was extremely keen on the military profession as my part-time career, and I took distance education courses. I pursued individuals who had operational experience, sat down with them, bought them the coffee, and ask them questions, because I wanted to make their experience mine. There's an old adage, I don't want to learn through my own experience, I want to learn from others, because I may not have to pay the price, okay? Because knowledge is power, and knowledge assists one's planning. And I would argue that when we started in Afghanistan, we didn't really understand the social cultural makeup of that country. And for essentially, I would argue, the first 6-7 years, with our rotations and our lack of socio-anthropological insights into that region, we were, for all intents and purposes, at a disadvantage. So when I look at young officers, I keep saying, well, it's important to study the profession. Yes, you know, in the Army, you have to know the ranges of your weapons. You have to know the four phases of war. You have to know patrolling. You know how to navigate. You have to understand first and second aid. You have to understand how to call in artillery and, for all intents and purposes, aircraft, and how to make reports and returns in an efficient way, and how to, you know, use your voice, so to speak, when you give orders over a radio to motivate people to get a job done. These are at the very tactical level. We have to start training and educating ourselves from the very get-go at what we call the operational and the strategic levels, so we have an understanding of the implications of all this. And so from my point of view, young men and women studying a profession, focusing that their intellect and learning becomes very much an important weapon. I always go back to one of my favorite Marines is General Mattis, who said the most important space in the battlefield is the 6 inches between your 2 ears. Because he basically made the argument, the intellectual aspect of a foreign officer becomes exceedingly important. His rifle is there essentially to defend himself. It's his knowledge, his skill sets, his technical ability that will provide the vehicles by which he will succeed. You know, General Paul Van Riper used to say he believed in three things, and although this is very Marine-oriented, he talked about the Marines, the brotherhood of Marines, the sisterhood of Marines. They're brothers and sisters together. We're all Marines. That's an identity issue and a sense of belonging. Second thing was he believed in master's degrees. The term master's degree was an intellectual aspect. He wanted to intellectualize the officer corps in that they always view themselves as being threatened by not only threats from existential threats, but also the threat of being consumed by the U.S. Army. So how do we make ourselves different? How do we make ourselves beneficial? And how do we make us different from the Army? And one of the ways of doing that is intellectualizing problems and how best to address it in the most efficient and effective way. So he basically said education, be it reading books, watching a documentary, discussing issues of pertinence with fellows and other people who have got skill sets in this area, become really important. The other aspect he talked about was marathons. Not so much the question of marathons, because the Marines are physical fitness fanatics, but the aspect of, I give you an hour a day, an hour and a half a day to do physical training, all right? And that is to keep us fit to fight, to be able to carry the weight, to conduct and survive on the battlefield. And that becomes really important. So those three functions kind of illuminate some of the thinkings that I brought about from my experience of being at the Marine Corps Command Staff College and subsequently as an instructor at their staff college. So I really take home some of that in the Canadian context. So I think from pursuing a career with the military, you've got to keep fit, you've got to have a positive attitude, you want to lead, you want to get involved, you want to be thinking, an intellectual soldier. I don't use the term warrior because a warrior is not disciplined. A soldier is disciplined. So the fact is that what you want is our men and women to be well-educated, intellectually oriented, technically skilled, and physically fit. So if you have those skill sets, those basically blend readily into the military ethos.
That's extremely valuable advice. And to all of the youth and young professionals listening to this podcast today, I oftentimes tell students to obtain advice from individuals who have the expertise, who have the knowledge. And looking at your background, you've been actively engaged in the military, and I have to say that it's an honor to do this interview with you today. And the one point that you made that really stands out is the fact that you know, you have to obtain that education. You have to be physically fit. You have to take the initiative to have a positive attitude. You have to be a team player. You have to have the ability to, you know, take orders, but then also to command. So having that discipline and that showing that integrity is highly valuable. As a program editor of Global Horizons here at the NATO Association of Canada, I oftentimes advise youth to obtain education, whether they want to pursue a career in international relations and affairs, or if they're interested in pursuing a career in global diplomacy. Obtaining that education is one thing, but then proceeding by completing a graduate degree, like you mentioned, is highly valuable. I myself, as you know, have a master's in public service, and with that education, I've been able to obtain a better understanding as to how the public sector works, and it's helped me in many different ways. So obtaining a master's not only allows you to obtain further knowledge, but it provides you with an opportunity to, you know, focus on a certain area that is of interest to you. Yes. So whether it be international relations or global diplomacy, it's so relevant to take that next step and to look at all of the programs and options that are available to you. But in addition, you made a highly valuable point when you mentioned that, you know, I have to look at the people that are around you. And as the program editor of Global Horizons, I interview diplomats, government officials, and influential members of the community. And having my education has been beneficial to me, but I've learned something new from every single person that I've interviewed, every single person that I've had featured on the NATO Association of Canada's website. I can say that I've learned an immense amount about international relations, global affairs, diplomacy, about intelligence, about cybersecurity, about terrorism, that it's so valuable for the students out there to obtain the education, to have the right attitude, to ask the right questions, and to have a strong network around you.
Absolutely.
Obtaining that mentorship from individuals who are successful and who are able to guide you in the right direction is invaluable. You have to take that initiative to, you know, establish those contacts. And with my background, I have the education and I love the work that I'm doing at the NATO Association of Canada.